I didn't say that any other show, they were very critical of it. Oh, we don't know about that. I don't like this, I don't like that. And then, much as it was great. But all the criticism went away, and they said, we want you to, needs to be shorter. Get in, get out. Because, you know, a radio
Snappy.
30, 40 seconds. So I got it down under 50. But
well, 30 seconds is even a long time for a
radio. Well, I wanted it, maybe get my guitar playing in there. So I had a little slide solo at the end, and that's, they didn't see a need to have a slide solo. That's my friend Dave.
Well, you get a you got a couple of chords in there, right?
Slide guitar solo at the end, and they may fade that down, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. Make them, bring them back. Hey. Oh yeah, you are. No good.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Is there anyone here who has never attended an AA meeting before? We're all seasoned vets. Do we have any visitors from other groups who'd like to be recognized? Yes, sir. Hey, Paul. Welcome, welcome. At this time, I'd like everybody to please check your cell phones or anything else that you have that makes noise. Please put them on silent. It would be very much appreciated. And this is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, nor endorses, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. We have no dues or fees, but we do have self-supporting baskets, which will be passed while three friends come up to read How It Works, the 12 Traditions and the Promises. If you can, contribute whatever you can to help out the NABA group and meet rising expenses. It will be appreciated. And I've asked Frank Waters to read How It Works.
You have to believe me. Did you feel like you can get away with it?
I'm Frank Waters, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I forgot I was reading this recently. The hecklers don't start until the speaker gets up there. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. As some of these we balked, we thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We ask his protection and care with complete abandon. Really? Here are the steps we took. It says took. It didn't say we worked these steps. It says we took them, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all the people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible. Good God. Just give me a second. You're a little reflective there, Brian. It's okay. Take your medication, Brian. Except when you do so, it injures them or others. 10. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have covered that, shouldn't I? Sorry. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Just did that. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will and the power for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to go along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. our descriptions of the alcoholic, the chapters of the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Next.
Hey everybody, my name is Chad and I'm an alcoholic. These are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, our only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Number six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks.
Hello everyone, I'm Joanne, alcoholic. These are the promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thank you. This last reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has actually happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on nabaclub.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker tonight, and we believe it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I'm one of them too. I must have this thing. Tonight, TJ has arrived Now, but normally he's here on Thursday nights for the men's group. He's regular at the 8 o'clock men's meeting on Thursdays. And normally on Monday he is at the Biscayne Room at the 12-Step Titan Group. And that's another 8 o'clock meeting. TJ's he's quite a character, and he was around here day one for me, and he was the kind of guy that when he shared in a men's meeting, he was honest, and he was still vulnerable, and he set a precedent that I tried to pay attention to, and I really look up to TJ, and glad he's finally made it. Welcome, TJ.
I am TJ. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, TJ.
And what he just announced is highly overrated. I'm just another drunk on this bus. Thank God. I'm supposed to share what happened, what it's like, and what it's like now. My suspicion is that what happened was pretty much what happened to all of us in our own way. The bottom line is I didn't fit in. That's how I felt. And I found this magic medicine device stuff that worked for me. It gave me a sense of ease and comfort. That's the long and the short of what happened. I can skip right through that now, right? Did y'all feel like that? That's how I felt through my entire childhood. I could tell you all of the insanity of how my mind wanted to blame people, places, and things for the way I felt. But the bottom line is, I was a scared little kid. And I just didn't fit in. That's my reality. Our reading says that there are those among us with great emotional disorders that have the capacity to improve if they can be honest with themselves. Well, I will tell you that in my childhood, there were several doctors out there that decided that I had some of those grave emotional disorders, and they gave me these cute little pills that helped Mom and Dad deal with me. And that worked for them. I don't remember a whole lot of that. I don't know how many of you had any of that kind of experience as a child, but if you're an active adolescent like I was, those things kind of made your life race by. And I was always looking for attention, so I always was willing to do whatever, wherever to gain that acceptance and have a little fun. And unfortunately, that got me in trouble every now and then. So that's the way that went. I probably started drinking full-time by the time I was 13 or so, and that's the reality of it. My parents used alcohol medicinally for me. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I was born in an Irish Catholic family, and we worked hard and we played hard, and that's how that goes. And they also used hot toddies. You ever hear of hot toddies? Yeah, man. Guess what they do to young ones? They make them sleep real good. So I'd get a hot toddy every now and then when Mom and Dad had things they needed to be doing, and that worked for me. I didn't realize why. When I slept good, when I had a hot toddy. So anyway, to make a long story short, alcohol worked for me. Gave me a sense of ease and comfort. By the time I got to be about 13 or so, I was such a nervous Nelly all the time that I like to find and hang around with people that did what we do. And I got to tell you, in all honesty, if alcohol was still working for me today, I'd still be doing it. We'll get there in a little while. So my father taught me the concept of, yeah, that's fine. He taught me the concept of work hard, play hard, and stay out of trouble. And if I got in trouble out there, I managed to get in trouble at home. So the big deal with that was I learned how to be conniving and lie and stay out of trouble as best as possible. I thought I could stay out of trouble, if you will. Didn't work out very well. What do they say the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? Yeah, I excelled at that. I'd go out and get myself tanked up and get in a little bit of trouble and then come back home and be in some more trouble and get on restriction and then immediately get off restriction and go do it again. That's how it was. That was the cycle of my life. So, I won't bore you with all the gory details and all that stuff, but the fact of the matter is, when I was 17, the old man said, "Hey, boy, what are you doing with your life?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "You're not doing it here. Here's your bus ticket. You're in the Navy. Enjoy the ride." So off I went, scared little 17-year-old kid, just graduated from high school. Out into the big world we go. I will say this. I was probably, in hindsight, one of the best things that my father could possibly have done for me. Left to my own devices in that town with those friends, I was going downhill fast. So today, I'm grateful for that. Back then, I had a resentment with that. I didn't like that. So I went, joined the Navy, did the school thing. Got kicked out of the school pretty early on after I got out of boot camp. They apparently don't like you driving back through the front gate of their base on the hood of your car drunk. I got issues with that. So that was my first probably real consequence of alcohol abuse. Got kicked out of nuclear power school at that point in my life. They just really don't cotton to that kind of stuff. So went to some other schools along the way and managed to keep my nose out of trouble enough to get assigned to a submarine and went riding the Western Pacific. What's neat about that is it gave me periods of sobriety whether I wanted them or not. The boat would pull away from the dock and we'd be gone for a while. And I'd dry out and then I'd have 3 months worth of pay to blow when we pulled into port for 2 weeks. Imagine what an irresponsible kid can do with 3 months of pay in 2 weeks in the Philippines or Thailand or Korea or Japan. Yeah, I had some fun parties, and I'm very grateful that I didn't get dead over any of it. I survived all of it. In about 82, I guess, the Navy decided that they had a problem that they needed to address with young men like myself. And they came out and said, "Gentlemen, in about 6 months or so, we're going to start this drug testing program. We realize that we have a problem in this man's service with alcohol and drugs. And anybody that would like to volunteer, no questions asked, we'll put you in a recovery program until that time." Well, me and my infinite wisdom, with my willingness to escape in any way, shape, or form, thought, well, this will be great. I'll get off the boat for a while, and I'll volunteer for their cute little program, and I'll get a good 6 weeks on shore. Do you know what those people did? They put me on antabuse. You ever tried to drink on antabuse? It don't work too good. Not a good plan at all. I actually got exposed to the program at that point in my life. The problem was I didn't get a sponsor. I didn't work the steps. I didn't learn how to pray and meditate. I stopped going to meetings because they put me right back on the submarine immediately upon the completion of the recovery cycle. So I didn't do this program. I simply went to a few meetings in recovery. Went back out to sea, stone cold sober and ragingly insane. And that's the truth of it. I ended up getting real sick at sea, sober for way too long, couldn't handle what was going on inside my sick and twisted little mind, and they decided that they needed to take me off my little submarine in the Philippines and put me into a little hospital with those white coats that go around your back and all that so you can't get your arms out. I tell you that because I made an important decision in my life at that time which came back to haunt me for an amazing number of years before I finally got over it. I decided that since I had tried this program and it didn't work for me, that I'd never try it again, and that I needed to have my medicine and maintain my life my way and do my thing. Are you hearing all about me? That's where I got, and I spent nearly the next 20 years of my life doing my thing my way with my medicine, and if you didn't like it, F you. Excuse my language. That scared little boy never grew up. He had his medicine. He couldn't deal with life on life's terms, so he had to escape every now and then. Fill up that tank. I survived all of that experience. Until late 2001. I actually had some of the good stuff in life. I'd actually followed my father's directions. Play hard, work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard, work hard. I was more of a binge kind of guy. Go out and do my thing and work 3 or 4 days and then come home and do my thing for 3 or 4 days. You know, that kind of deal. So I had some benefits. I had the wife. I had the house. I had the kids. You know, I had the car. I had all that stuff. But we weren't getting along because my insanity, my medicine, was not giving me the sense of ease and comfort that it once did. It got to a place late in my drinking career where there wasn't enough to drink. All I was doing was blacking out and waking up and blacking out and waking up and blacking out and waking up. So I got real sick. Make a long story short, got real sick. A friend of mine who I love dearly, who drank with me for probably 15 years before I got here, came to visit me in January of 2002. My wife called him. My wife said, please come help. I don't know what to do with this man. He's out of his mind. My buddy that I've been drinking with for so many years, I hadn't even noticed. He'd been gone from my life for 3 years because he'd been in here. How about that? He invited me here to Napa on Thursday night, late January of 2002. He said, just let me buy you dinner, TJ. I'm going to take you down to this club I hang around at. Go downstairs, meet me down there, buy you some dinner, blah, 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 blah. I had no intentions of coming in here and getting sober. But I was interested in a free meal. So I came and I met Glenn downstairs. And there was a whole bunch of very interesting human beings down there just enjoying themselves and having a good old time. And I was all up inside my head and my problems and me and this and that and the other and all that. And he just hung on to me and loved on me and said, JJ, you know what? You don't have to be as miserable as you are. That's your deal, dude. He said, I'll tell you what, we got several different things going on at this place. There's this A&A thing going on upstairs, and there's that Al-Anon thing going on over there. If you want to know why I quit drinking, why don't you go over and visit those Al-Anon people? And me being as smart as I was, knowing everything I knew at that point in my life, said, sure, why not? Today I can tell you point blank that Al-Anon is an awesome thing. Then those people were crazy. Could not relate. Did not work for me. But he invited me back. He kept saying, just come on back, T. Just come on back, you know. So I went back. I did a couple more of the dinners downstairs things. Then he finally conned me into coming up to one of these meetings up here on the A&A side of the fence. Okay. don't know what was going on in here that night. I don't remember a whole lot about why, but what I heard, what I felt, was there was some crazy-ass people in these rooms that had figured out how to put it down, leave it alone, and be okay with that. See, I was stuck in that pure holy hell of, it doesn't work for me anymore, but I can't imagine life without it. What the hell do I do? And there was a room full of people in here that said, we know what to do. And all you've got to do is what we did. And if you do that, you'll be okay. Made no sense to me at all. But they were happy. They had some kind of peace about them, and they said they weren't drinking. I'm assuming they weren't drinking. My mind, my selfish self-centered self at that point in my time didn't trust anybody. I thought y'all might be doing a little something on the side and just playing this game. So I pussed around with it for a little while, went to a meeting here, went to a meeting there, went to a meeting here, went to a meeting there, and heard a guy one night leave the meeting that there was absolutely no question in my mind he was out there. But man, he had it going on. He was out there, but he was stone cold sober and loving life. And I finally had enough courage to walk up to him and said, how you doing that? How do you do this, dude? Show me the way. And he said, okay, well, I don't know the way, but I know what I do, and all I do is I go over here to this book study every week. So we're going to take you over there and show you that. He got me hooked up into this little group that was meeting in an apartment out on Peachtree. What a freaky thing. How bizarre. If you're new and you're thinking about joining a book study, my mind at that time was like, this is crazy. A whole bunch of boys meeting together in an apartment somewhere to talk about a big blue book. Really? But I did it. And I'm so grateful that I did do it. There were men in there that were being real, in spite of all my insanity. And they were trying to make those words come alive for me and show me how I could turn those words into action and start working out of the insane stuff that was going on in my head. So I started to get a little hope. I started to think maybe this thing will work. They got a little, they do these retreats and stuff all over the country. And they have a little one here they call The Rock. And these boys that were doing this book study thing said, hey, you know what? You ought to sign up for this Rock thing. Now, come on. I'd just gotten over the hurdle of getting into a book study in an apartment with 8 or 10 guys on Peachtree, and now you boys are talking to me about I need to sign up to go out in the woods with 300 men for a weekend. Really? I did it. It was cool. Freaked me out. Scared. Didn't want to be there. Didn't feel like I fit in. But there was a bunch of guys out there that were, they told me point blank that they felt like I felt. And that it'd be okay. Just hang on. Do what we do. You'll get what we got. Sooner or later. There's one of those things going on this weekend, you know what? You know, I've been going to those things ever since. There's something magical that goes on out there that I can't explain. All I can say is go try it. See what you get. These guys are some pretty sharp cats because they knew I had this ego thing going on where I thought I knew something. They figured out how to play my own ego backwards against me. They said, I'll tell you what, TJ. You come to these book studies. You learn about this praying and meditating thing, even though you don't want to hear about all that God stuff. Just do the action. Go to a bunch of meetings. Work with your sponsor. Don't just have one. Work with them. And learn to help others. And you do all of that stuff, and if it doesn't work, you can always go back to your old way. And I said, okay, fine, I'll tell you what, I'll prove to you it doesn't work. I'll go do everything that you say to do. And I'll prove to you that it doesn't work, because it can't work for me. I'm unique. They figured me out. They played my own ego against me. I'm still here, still trying to prove that it doesn't work. Shit. They got me. They got me. I woke up one day, I guess I've been around a couple of years at that point, and I realized, hey, you know what? The first word of the first step finally turned up to where I could read it. When I got here, I was all about me, myself, and I, and if you only knew my problems, and you only felt the way I do, you could understand the way I am. And then I realized that first word of the first step says, we, not me, fool. It took a couple of years for that to happen. What a miracle that you guys loved me enough to hang on to me and keep encouraging me and telling me, whatever. When you do it, you'll get it. So that's been my deal. I would like to sit here and tell you that this program has solved all of my problems. Guess what? Life still happens. In sobriety, I have had to deal with divorce because I changed and she didn't. I have had to deal with sickness. I have had to deal with financial difficulty. I have had to deal with life. And sometimes life ain't fun. But you know what I got? I got we. We are a band of brothers and sisters that have recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body, that can face life on life's terms and not have to pick up today, no matter what. That's my reel. It's magic stuff. You want some?
Come get it.
Isn't that cool? Y'all ought to come up here and try this. This thing's neat. I can tell you, in all honesty, and you guys read it, when you come in here and you hear these people reading all this stuff and we're sitting back there chattering and laughing and giggling and all that kind of stuff, but it says that everywhere you look, if you look at these 12 steps and how they're wrapped around each other, it starts with we as the first word of the first step. And what's it say back there on the 12th step? Helping others. It's a big damn circle. See, if I help you, I'm helping me. You can't understand that until you actually do it. And I don't care if you've been here 30 minutes or 30 years. If you figured out how to stay sober today, there's somebody out there that needs to know how you did that. And I was one of those. I was one of those. That's why they call this thing a fellowship. Because it's about we. Are you hearing me? It's about we. I love this program. This program absolutely saved my life. I am more sane today than I've ever been in my entire life. And there's a lot of friends in these rooms that will tell you that I'm not all that sane. But that's okay. I like me. And I didn't like me when I got here. I can look me in the mirror today and smile. I couldn't do that when I got here. I found a higher power of my understanding that helped me figure out how to live life on life's terms without having to escape with alcohol or those alcohol enhancers, for want of no better description. I'm begging you, if you're here tonight and you think this thing won't work for you, I thought that too. I knew that, based on my experience, it would not work for me. And yet it did. In spite of me. I'm here to tell you point blank that I am sober tonight, and it's not my fault. Y'all did that for me. God bless you. Thank you for you. Come get you some. I'm done. Let's go home early.
Let's do ask DJ a question. Spring, you had an accident?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that? How that?
Okay, now they're really going to know.
I climb trees for a living because I love climbing trees. Now, how sane can I be? Had a little accident January 19th this year. Turns out that if you don't have that magic fluid inside your body that allows the oxygen to travel back and forth to all the components, you can actually code out on a trauma table at Grady. Unfortunately, I got in an argument with an operating chainsaw in a tree. It won the argument. The blessing is that Grady Memorial is a trauma one center. They did have my blood type and enough of it to fill me back up. And they were even able to physically make my right arm work again. What an absolute blessing. There is a magic out there that I can tell you about that I could not have dealt with. There is a spirit inside of my heart that when my conscious mind freaked out up in a tree because I was bleeding out, said, "Ooh, get your ass down on the ground. We got to go." That's my higher power. My spirit lives within my heart, not my head. And I hope you guys find yours in your heart. Because my higher power got me down out of that tree. And I made it to Grady within an hour. And apparently that's about as long as you can go with the tourniquet on before you can't get this thing working again. So I don't know how y'all feel about higher powers, but I'll tell you what, I found one on January 19th that was way, way, way more powerful than any higher power I'd found practicing these principles. And I have a pretty good one before that day. So every day I have today is absolutely a gift to me now. I have a whole new perspective. And that whole thing about how important is it anyway, that's real for me. There ain't no big deals anymore for me. And I'll probably go out of here whining and crying because somebody let the air out of my tire. Who knows, you know? I mean, that's the way the alcoholic mind works. Mine works that way. I want to find something wrong with everything. But I don't anymore. It's just for a split second. Just for a split second. Let's open this thing up. I'm tired of hearing my voice. Questions? Answers? I'll call on people. I know names. This just became a meeting. What are you doing to find your higher power today, boys and girls? That's what I want to know. Share with me how that's going. Talk to me, Rusty. Hey, Rusty.
You did use the term drinking out of sick knee, but I know you didn't say it, but I heard it. And touch my heart God and perfect me from you. And connect me with you. I want you to pick up that drink that you never wanted to drink. What you had any drink you ever wanted. And there's still another life that you have to drink. Then you know.
Yeah.
And you've lost the power of choice. But we come here and something enables us, that we enable me to get past that drink I never wanted to drink. Long enough to feel that magic in that we. And that's where it starts for me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Brian.
Thank you. I'm Brian, I'm probably sober alcoholic.
Hey, Brian.
When did you first realize that God is all through this, and what did that do? How did it work that you got to believe? That you came to believe?
I have to tell you, this is going to sound a little unorthodox, but for me, I was so narcissistic that I think I really started actually believing this thing could work for me after I got done with a fifth step. I had step one. I was powerless because it had kicked my butt. I wanted to believe. I made a decision to turn my will and life over to something that I did not believe in. And step three, worked a fourth step, did a fifth step, and got some hope. The reality for me is that once I was able to get some of the baggage out of my closet, then I really got some hope and I began to believe. I had an event happen to me, and I've been around for a minute. I have not worked this program perfectly, I might say. This program has worked me. In real life, what happened to me shortly after I did an actual fifth step, I had an estimate to do for my business. And I was putting this poor woman off. It was supposed to be at her house at noon. I showed up at 4 after I'd been doing whatever the hell I wanted to do. And something dinged in my little head. And I went up to her door, and I rang the doorbell and opened the door, and she opened the door, and I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, I owe you an apology. I know I should have been here at noon, but I had some things going on, and I just needed to finish doing what I was doing before I could come out here." And I thought, as soon as I got honest with that woman, I was done. I might as well just turn around, get my butt back in the car, and go on home. I learned a valuable lesson about honesty that day. I was rewarded, actually. She appreciated that candor. I got the job. I got some real... I was like, oh my God, here's a principle that actually works. I was so screwed up in the head that I always had this thing going on inside of me where if I could figure out what it is you wanted and how to do that and all that kind of narcissistic crap. Well, guess what? I've gone through the steps and done this first step and gotten honest with another human being, and I took it out in the real world and did it one time, and it worked. And I began to believe that there was something out there greater than me, that if I practiced these principles, it would be okay. And I started really doing it for real that day, Brian. That's when it got real for me. When I started seeing it happen in my life. In real time. I practice principles, I get results. I don't practice principles, I don't get results. That's for real. Thank you. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yes, sir.
My name is Tinsley. I'm an alcoholic. And my experience is, for me, the biggest turning point I had in my recovery was when I got a sponsor.
Yeah.
And I was, I know that it got me sober to get a sponsor. Someone to take me through the steps, and then it keeps me sober to sponsor people. And I was wondering if you could say a few words about sponsorship.
Without sponsorship, I'm not here. That's the point blank of it. Because I'd be left to my own devices without sponsorship at that point. The bottom line is, my sponsor knows me better than any other human being on this planet will ever know me, more than likely. And that has come true because we developed a relationship over years. And little pieces of my onion have peeled and peeled and peeled and peeled and peeled with that man. That man has helped me understand me more than any other human being on this planet ever possibly could have. He helped me understand that it's okay for me to be me, but I should not be left alone playing in my own head by myself under any conditions ever. That's the miracle of this we thing. Sponsorship is a crucial part of the we. You can come sit around in these rooms and do this fellowship thing all you want, but if you don't get a sponsor and get inside your closet and get some of that shit out of there, it ain't going to get real. That's been my experience. That's my truth. I still check in with my sponsor religiously, because if I stay alone with me too long, I'm going for a walk outside on a playground that's no fun to play in. And that's my truth. Sponsorship is a crucial element. Thank you. Thank you. And he'll probably be grading me on this tomorrow, I'm sure. Especially since y'all recorded it. Who else?
One last one.
Okay. Come on, Tim.
Tim, I'll... you asked something that I've been kind of reviewing in my past history. I can't remember how the sentence you said, but you said something about what makes people hesitate, what makes you hesitate. I'm just wondering, you know, for people who have had relapses or slow to get the program, sponsorship people, have you ever kind of categorize what it is that's making people hesitate?
I wish I was that smart. I wish I was that smart. I know me. I know me well enough to know that my relapse was nearly 20 years. I don't know if I have another relapse in me. I seem to have these big, huge girths of years in between white chips, so I better not try that again. I don't care if you believe this thing is going to work for you or not. If you have been down the road of hell that I've been down with regard to alcohol and alcohol enhancers, your own experience can dictate the reality of your situation to you. There's some kind of mental twist with those of us who have had relapses where we want to escape one last time. I unfortunately have to report to you that in my short time here, I've lost a lot of friends to that reality because they didn't make it back in these rooms that one last time. That's the truth of it. And I'm so glad that I did. There is a beautiful place for you here if you will trust a process that you don't believe in and do the work anyway. It's okay to believe that it's not going to work for you. Do it anyway. Grab a sponsor. They don't have to be your friend. They have to be your sponsor. They have to show you how this works by their actions. And try it. Try it. Try it all. I didn't think it was going to work for me. And yet I'm still working. Something must be working. There's a power greater than you out there. It is called alcohol. All you need to do is realize that, and then you can understand that there are other powers greater than you out there that you can find if you will seek them. It, whatever it is, it works for you. But don't follow whatever's going on in your head, because that's not where that greater power is. It's not where my greater power is. That's my truth. Thank you all for coming here and listening tonight. God bless.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in on our speaker group tonight. In finishing, we will share a brief moment.
Rusty. Rusty's going to hand out.
Oh, Rusty. Chips. Yes, very good. Chips are important. Yeah,
they are. All right, Rusty.
I'm Rusty Jones. I'm a very great alcoholic.
Hi, Rusty.
Thank you, TJ. Great story. If you're out there tonight, loneliest drunk in the world, sick and tired of being sick and tired, feeling like a misfit, you don't ever have to be alone again. Coming in and coming back, anyone want to pick up a wipe here? We got some phone numbers to go with that mark here. Give those out to me.
Yeah.
Anybody sick and tired of being sick and tired? Tired of paying the high cost of low living? Anybody with 30 days? Crushed aluminum. Nothing silver about it. Don't take my word for that type on you. I'm sorry, 90 days for the red. 90 days for the red, you come for red chip, 9 days. 6 months for the gold, nothing yellow about one of us staying sober 6 months. 9 months for the green, the goat chip. 9 months for the green, the goat chip for the blue chip. 1 year, multiples thereof. Anybody pick it up for anniversary? The white chip one more time. I told you that noon you're one of us, you might feel more comfortable stealing it. So we'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Rusty.
Thank you, Rusty. Very good. All right. Now, thank you, everyone, for joining in on our speakers group tonight. In finishing, we will share a brief moment reserved for AA and NABA Club announcements. Who wants to start? Yes, Tim.
My name is Tim. I'm an alcoholic. I have tickets for the coffee house that we're doing here on Saturday the 22nd, 9 o'clock downstairs. Food, music, and we still have room for more performers here. If you want to come and do your act downstairs. Last time it was packed, we had a great time. And I have tickets for $5 if you like. You can see me after the meeting.
Yeah. I'm Chad, I'm an alcoholic. I've got tickets for the 29th. There's a Halloween dance here benefiting the Freedom Club. It's $5 ahead of time and $7 at the door. Also, every Saturday night, 11 o'clock, I think it's going to be $5 a night out.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
Brian.
I'm Brian and Carlos Soraco.
Hey, Brian.
I have a key to the literature cabinet located in the rear room. I'll be there if you need.
Hey, Frank.
October 23rd. NABA has a yard sale in the back parking lot. You can rent a table for $25 and sell your own stuff, or you can donate items and anything big. NABA will come by and pick it up. Also on that same weekend is a Georgia Prepaid Convention. There's flyers in the lobby. But you know, it's all the Saturday night entertainment would be a lot better down here.
Huh?
I'm Frank, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. I was the first person to speak when the meeting started. I was sometimes high out as we go, but also those Catholic guys, hey, literature, that's free. I'll let Brian try to tell you that. That's all I have.
Thank you, Brian. Tim.
Next week, David Newberry tells his story. He's got quite a bit of sobriety. 7:30 early morning study group. He's a member there. Just a really interesting guy. His impact, his personal impact, influences people all over the world. And I don't know how much you'll share of that, but he's an incredible guy. His name's David, and he's Native American.
He's got about 38 years.
38 years, yes, sir. And then the week after that, we've got Bill Root. And he's got, 54 years, I think, coming up on his 55th anniversary. And so we're going to have him come tell his story again before he has his big 55th anniversary shindig coming up in January, I believe.
But, he's the liveliest old silver man I've ever seen.
Yes, that's true.
The first Sunday in November, we're at an old-timers meeting, having a meeting inside this room.
Alzheimer's?
Who are you?
We're going to have to see some jobs and see what somebody's really like.
Who are you?
Meet me after the meeting, I'll introduce my brother.
As CJ pointed out, there are those two who suffer from grave emotions.
Yes, sir!
We're all going to have one big group hug when this is done, and we'll end with Kumbaya.
Yes.
I think this Rachel has tickets to Tinsley's or to the performance events, the Tier 2. So there's a couple people that have tickets that you can get with. Are there any other announcements?
It's 9 o'clock.
It's
9 o'clock. Very good. And all is well. Hopefully. Maybe not. There are no further announcements. I remind you that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. They're reminding us to place principles before personalities. For those who will, please join hands in the Lord's Prayer.
Booby trap. Julie, would you like to take some?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. King, come back and work as you work.
Remember to come back on time.
I saw a lot of kids. Yeah.
And wait. Some more?
5 or 6.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you still got a few.
Yeah, I still got plenty. But somebody said today, Howard said, we're going to have to take some of the kids back because of that.
No, we're not going to take it back, but we probably will not have any at the door if we sell.
Oh, I see.
So if somebody's on the fence, they need to go in and buy tickets if they want to go. Because they probably won't save money because there probably won't be any $7 tickets available.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, my best friend.
I got my seat signed. I'm standing up here. I don't want to get a man.
Thank you.